A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka. On today's episode, I'm talking with Chris Joris, who is the IT director for the Humboldt IPA and is also very involved with the Redwood Curtain Theater in Eureka. September is emergency planning month, and so today we're talking about planning for emergencies and go bags, what they are, why it's important to have them, and how to get started. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you, Juliet?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Good.
I thought we would start, I like starting with stories. I'm a storyteller, and I think it helps people understand why things are important to other people. So if does a story come to mind for you about how you got started with emergency planning, like what it means to you, really?
Yeah, I got started with emergency planning because disaster recovery planning is something that all healthcare institutions have to do by law. And I knew in the back of my head that there was all sorts of emergency planning for the family that I needed to do, but it really felt overwhelming. And I stumbled across an article in a magazine called Disaster Recovery Journal, which I always referred to as Panic Now Journal, because it was a lot of horrors that could befall us all. And so I ran across this one article, though, that talked about preparing a go bag. And one of the things it talked about was doing a little bit at a time. Don't try and do it all at once. Just take a bite at a time, and then eventually you'll have it all done. And then there have been a couple of instances, especially with the fires. I think we all know people that have been evacuated in very fast circumstances, like with embers falling around them and no shoes on in the past years. And just hearing those stories, it made it really clear that that was something that I needed to do for my family. And then also I started just sharing that information with the people at work, and it's blossomed from there.
I remember when a couple of years ago, you and I've talked about this, but that was the article of like, just start, you know, just do anything. So that was the article, and we'll include that in our resources link, because I think that's so helpful for people. That it doesn't have to be, it's like just grab any bag and walk around your house and put anything extra that you have in there. Do you have an extra pair of shoes, an extra pair of socks? And that advice alone was the thing that got me out of my paralyzed with fear state over this whole topic and just started doing something. And as soon as I started, it was like, oh, okay, now I can do a little bit more. And now I'm really, you know, when I look at my go bag needs to be updated pretty regularly because I have a growing child who grows every time I look at her, that it's like, you know, the shoes are too small, you know, so I need to update my go bag pretty regularly, which is actually really helpful.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I always told people, oh, and you need to make sure at least you're checking it once annually. And the last time I said it out loud in a educational session with people, I was like, and Chris, you need to do that too. Yeah. You know, I said it in the back of my mind, knowing that I hadn't gone through my bag. And when I was going through my bag, I realized that I had protein bars in there. I have two older sons that live with me. So I've got a 16-year-old and a 20-year-old. And so I had protein bars in there for the three of us. And then I realized that they were covered in chocolate and recently had found out that I'm highly sensitive to chocolate, you know, bordering on allergy and shouldn't have it. So it was a, wait, I should have something different in here for me because I can't eat that. So, right. You know, every time you go through something, you're like, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. So I think that it's a constant learning process of, oh gosh, I need to think about something that I hadn't thought about before. So every time you go through your bag, you think about something new that you hadn't thought of before.
Right. And because every iteration of it just makes you aware of what's in your bag. And then it's like, oh yeah, I could add this in there, you know, which for some reason didn't make it in the last round. It's like, it's just this updating. And honestly, the way I feel about it now, it's like, I know I don't have a perfect go bag, but I have more than I had before. And anything I put in there is going to be helpful if I need to, you know, evacuate soon.
Yeah. And perfection is never going to happen, right? You're never going to have everything.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you've had kids, you're never going to have everything in that diaper bag that you need. Something is going to be missing.
Yeah.
And so you're never going to get it perfect, but don't let that stop you from trying to do it.
Yeah. A common phrase that I repeat to myself and for wellness coaching is don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. It's like good enough is so great.
Right. So
we don't need to be paralyzed with like, oh, I'll never do, you know, it's not good enough. So why bother? Right.
Yeah. We call that perfection paralysis.
Yes. So where should we start? What would you like for us to know, the listeners to know? What would be a good place, a starting place?
So I think that this is going to be a lot to remember and to think about. And obviously we'll have the resources linked. But also the Humboldt IPA has an emergency prep page. And so if you go to humboldtipa.com/emergency-prep, you can come back to all of this later, but definitely don't wait. You know, it's something to do now. So the first thing I think that everybody should know is that FEMA expects everyone to be self-sufficient for at least 3 days after any disaster or emergency until FEMA themselves, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, are able to get supplies and or assistance to your area. Relief agencies aren't going to be much better. If you're being evacuated due to something like a fire or tsunami, you can expect some level of chaos early in the process and shelters and services are being set up. The other things to remember are people are not rational in an emergency. Just sort of assume that everyone around you is going to lose their mind. And we're going to need to be able to help not only ourselves, but our community as well. And I know that that's one thing that we focused on in this podcast is how we all help the community and things that we're doing for the community. So to be able to help the community, though, you need to be able to help yourself first. And I always say, the airlines say it best, put on your own oxygen mask first. So one of the things that we always want to start with is the fact that there is a difference between a go bag and a shelter in place kit. So you always want to think about your go bag as what you may need to survive for a few days in the event that you need to leave your home or your car or your office at a moment's notice. Think about it like you're going to have to be without access to your usual resources for a few days in the wilderness, like you were going backpacking or something like that, where resources were going to be scarce. A shelter in place kit can have more in it because you're likely not going to leave your house or at least your property, but you may not have access to services like electrical or gas or water. So the big thing that we always want to start with is having a family plan, and it should take into account a couple of different situations, fire, earthquake, tsunami, whatever else you think may come into your neighborhood, into your world. Make sure that you communicate that with all of the people in your family, not just the people in your household, but everybody in your family sphere that might get pulled into that. Everybody needs to know what the expectations are, both of them and of everyone else. And we always say that it's best if you have one person or family outside of your area. So like for us, we have my sister who lives in Iowa, and she knows that she is the point of communication. So if we all get separated, we can all send information back to her, and she can be the central location for knowing where people are and what they need. So remember that if you've got younger children, they may need to be assured that there's always going to be somebody to take care of them until you can get to them, but that you will get to them, that they are your priority. You want to make sure that they know specifically who that will be. You know, the littler the kid they are, the more concrete you need to be. So They don't deal well in abstracts like someone will take care of you. But if you're at school, your teacher is going to take care of you. Or if you're at daycare, your daycare provider or somebody is going to take care of you and give them names. It's really best if they feel like it's somebody that they can trust right now. And all of that, you know, if you're dealing with little kids, you know, in your adult mind, that may not all be true, but the kids need to feel like that's true. That's absolute. So the more absolute you can be with younger kids, the better. So know that in an emergency, phone communication is going to be spotty. Even if the lines are up, you'll want to keep those circuits free for 911 calls. So texting is always your best option. Make sure everybody that's in the family plan has everybody else's phone numbers programmed into their phones. And then, of course, only call 911 if the emergency is life-threatening and you can't handle it any other way. All of emergency services first responders are going to be very tied up. And so you want to be able to do as much as you can yourself. So
on my, the thing, the plan, so you had helped me with my family plan because it was really anxiety inducing for me to think of the different scenarios. My daughter splits her time between her father and myself. And so it was like, well, what if she's at school, but she's supposed to be with him? Like there was too many scenarios. And then you had said like, you know, the things to keep in mind are, you know, what is the school's plan? And so it's like, oh, okay, like that's helpful to know what that's going to be. And then it was kind of like on our family plan, the list of, you know, it's these three people that are most likely going to get to you first. And so it was like put their names and the phone numbers, even though she knows them off the top of her head or has it in her own phone. Just write it down. And that's for all of us because you would imagine like, oh, that number's in my phone. But, you know, things happen like you're out of charge or something. So it's like, just write it down. We don't know anybody's phone number anymore, of course. So just write it all down.
Exactly. Exactly. I can remember my older kid's phone number, but I cannot remember my younger kid's phone number to save my life. Unfortunately, that poor kid, all the other brain cells were taken up for him. You know, the other thing to remember is cooler heads are not going to prevail here. You're not going to be like right now. I can tell you how to contact my mother and father. But in a panic, in an emergency, I may not be able to remember that. And I'm a fairly collected adult individual. So, you know, just think about that fact that you're not going to remember anything. You need to write it all down.
Right.
So, you know, there's all sorts of places where you can get access to information in an emergency. The Humboldt County has the Office of Emergency Services. In fact, every county does. California has an Office of Emergency Services. There's law enforcement that has information, FEMA, NOAA. Any of those, a lot of them have apps where you can put the app on their phone, on your phone, and they can send alerts that way. They can push alerts to you. You could also go to the app and find out information about things that are going on around you. And then, of course, that the radio, everybody talks about, oh, you got to have a radio. And everybody thinks, oh, my God, who uses a radio? Well, a radio may be the best way to get information. So, you know, a radio, battery operated, hand crank radios, they sell for emergency stuff. So I think those are really important to have. And then, of course, you always want to test everything so that check of your kit annually, you know, tie it to New Year's Day or a birthday or an anniversary or something so that it's something you remember. Oh, on New Year's Day, I always open up the go bags, the shelter in place kits, everything, and look through it all and make sure that I don't have expired stuff, that the batteries aren't all corroded that I've got in the bag, that, you know, nothing got wet or damp during the year. And test everything. Make sure that they still work. If you've got a generator, does the generator still work? Do you have fuel for the generator? And is the fuel expired? I did not personally know that fuel expires for a generator until the PSPS, the power safety shut up events were happening a couple of years ago. And I was like, I did not know that fuel expired. As it turns out, fuel expires.
Right. Good to know. All good to know.
So, and there's kinds of fuel that you can get that last a little longer, but it only lasts like 6 months or something like that. I was like, wow. All right.
Wow. Who knew?
Yeah.
That is a good point to check to see if things work because in efforts of starting a go bag, I was at Ace one day and just kind of, you know, putzing around and came across a hand cranked flashlight that had a radio and a cell phone charger. And I was like, this is all I need. You know, this is great. Put the box in my go bag. And then in more serious years of like going through my go bag, I was like, I should just see if I even, if this works. And it was kind of useless. Like you couldn't hear anything on the radio. You had to crank it for like 25 minutes to get, you know, a 1% charge. And I was like, this is not helpful. This would be useless. So it is good advice to check the things out.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you never know. And it always, so many things are sold as emergency equipment that are like, this will save your life. Well, will it really? Because maybe it won't.
Right.
I don't know. You know, and our go bags at home, my kids are constantly borrowing things from our go bags. You know, oh, I need a flashlight for this, or I needed this for that. Or, you know, I have hand warmers in the bag. Oh, it's a football game. I need hand warmer. You know, things are constantly being borrowed out of it. So, you know, an annual check of the kit is never a bad idea. Just make sure everything you think is there is still there. If you have medications that you take regularly, I have some medications that I take regularly. If I were to stop taking them, it would be not good. So make sure that you've got medications in there. You know, it doesn't need to be, oh, I have a whole extra bottle of this. It's, you know, do you have 2 or 3 days worth in a little zip bag or something like that? And then when you do that annual check, take out the ones from last year and put in new ones, and then just keep rotating it. And that way you make sure that things aren't going south on you. It's going to be really important.
Yeah, exactly. And making, if you're putting things in a bag, it's like marking them, because we all think exactly. That our memory is so great, but it's horrible.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. When it comes right down to it, it's like, I have no idea what that is, or even if I need to take it anymore.
Right.
You know, or, I forgot, you know, the other thing about an annual review of it is going through and saying, oh, I forgot that I started this other new medication and that's not in there. So,
right.
You know, there's all sorts of things that in that annual review process, you go, oh, totally didn't think of that. So
when you were saying before that you're borrowing, and you had said that before in meetings, like your kids are borrowing things out of the bag. And in my head, I'm like, I will never borrow anything out of my bag. But just the other day, my daughter, we were somewhere and she was like, I'm starving and having just like, you know, a tantrum over being so hangry and I couldn't take it anymore. And I went to the go bag and I had some granola bars in there. Like, this feels like an emergency right now. I will replace this.
Exactly.
So now I need to, you know, exactly. Go back and look at my food.
Yeah. So, you know, so if we're thinking about what's in your go bag, you know, obviously you're going to need things like we just talked about, like batteries and flashlights and some food. You still want to keep it light because remember, you're going to take this away with you. So a can of beans is not a good idea to put in your go bag, but like protein bars are really good. They're inexpensive. You can store them. They last for a really long time. And it's a great source of something that can keep you going for a little while. You know, one protein bar can last you a really long time during the day. So they're a really good idea for things that you can take. Don't pack anything that you need to cook. You're going to be able, water is going to be scarce. It will be absolutely necessary, but you're going to want that to drink and not to, you know, make ramen with. So, again, if you're looking at water, think about the fact that water is heavy. It weighs a lot. So think about maybe a portable filter. I was able to get one on Amazon, I think for like $15 or something. There's stuff that is not, it's not expensive. You know, you look at these pre-made emergency kits and they're hundreds of dollars. Well, you don't have to spend that. You can spend a few dollars here and a few dollars there and put things together in a bag. The dollar store, a great place to get things. Oh my gosh, you'd be amazed at what you can find at the dollar store.
Right.
Like think about it, like I said, like hiking in the wilderness, what might I need if I have access to nothing? And I don't have a sleeping bag and I don't have a tent. So I've got a tarp and some rope in my go bag in case I need to make some sort of a shelter. It's lightweight. It didn't cost me hardly anything to put those things in there. So, you know, what's going to make things easier for you? And then, of course, don't forget to think about, obviously, your kids, but your pets, right? You have a dog. You're going to want to take the dog with you. Your dog isn't going to eat that protein bar. What do we need for the dog? Do we need to have a small bag of kibble for the dog? Do we need to have a water bowl for the dog? Because while you can drink from a straw, your dog can't. So what do you need to do with that? Do you need a leash for your dog? So, you know, and the same thing goes with medications. Is your animal on some form of a medication that needs to be consistently administered? Then you need to make sure that you've got stuff for that. And if you were to go to your doctor or your vet and say, hey, I'm putting together my emergency kit and I need an extra couple of days supply of this medication, they are more than likely going to give it to you. You're not asking for an extra month. You're asking for a few days worth. So, you know, that's something to remember, is those other kids in your family. So, you know, and obviously we talk about the fact that you're going to have to take it away with you. Well, a backpack is a really good way to do that. You know, if all you have is a tote bag, then it's better than nothing. But a backpack is a really good thing to have. And you can get backpacks anywhere. You can get them at a thrift store. It doesn't need to be the super awesome backpack that's $30 at Costco. You can get a $5, $10 backpack and be just fine. So there's some backpacks that I found on Amazon that were like $15. And they're huge and spacious and lightweight. And, you know, everything's great. So those types of things I'll put links on. I'll have links to on the emergency prep page so people can go and look at that.
Great.
So, So the go bag, you know, if you're looking at the go bag is, you have to leave right now thing. So there's no time to grab anything else. You got to get out right now. So a great place to store those, you know, don't store that in the back closet in the guest room at your house or the linen cabinet, maybe by the front door. You know, tuck them under the bench where you keep all the shoes or in the closet where you hang the coats or whatever, so that they're someplace that you can get to really easy. And then everybody in the household should know where they are, because everybody should need to be able to grab it. It's a high possibility that you're not going to be home. And do your kids know where they are and how to get them?
I put mine in the back of my car because before, you know, I just felt like that was going to cover me no matter where I was. Like if I was at work, I would have my car with me. And now that I've been working from home, it's like I've just left them in there. And it's like, it kind of feels like an okay place. Like my keys are always in the same spot. So it's like, I just kind of felt like that was okay.
Yeah. Both of my kids drive and they have their own cars. So because I'm, you know, rabid about this emergency preparedness stuff now, both of them have a go bag of their own in their car. It doesn't have everything that our home go bag does, but it has what they need if they're not at home. And they, you know, think about earthquakes. People have had to abandon their cars because they can't drive. The roads are all chewed up.
Right.
Or whatever. You may have to get out of your car and walk. So make sure that you've got that stuff with you.
Right.
So, the other thing is, you know, you may have time to grab other things, right? Sometimes it's going to be, no, you go now, right now. And you grab that bag and you walk out the house and there is nothing more important than you getting out with your life. And if there is no time to even grab that bag, you just go, you know, whatever else you need, you'll find somewhere, I'm sure. But, there's nothing more important than your life and the lives of your family. So get out. But if you have more time, obviously, you know, sometimes you've got an extra 5 minutes or maybe you've got an extra 15 or half an hour or something. So what I have in ours is a list of here's the extra stuff that I want you to grab if there's time. And on that list is not just the thing, but where it is in the house. Because again, cooler heads are not going to prevail and you're going to be running around like a chicken with a head cut off and you're not going to remember where you store the extra car keys. So just think about that. Or the cat carrier. If you have cats, where do you keep your cat carrier? I can't find my cat carrier half of the time when I'm just trying to take him to the vet. So, like, you know, where's the cat carrier? And a list like that just sort of makes sure that you take what's important and you leave what isn't. A friend was the there was a fire across the street at that neighbor's house, and the neighbor's house was on fire. They, you know, it was unlikely that it was going to cross the road, but the neighbor had a propane tank, and anything can happen there. Right. And they ran around the house collecting like pictures and random things. And there was no sense of what they needed and what they should be taking. So, you know, lots of stories about people who grabbed their yearbooks, but left grandma's quilt or left the computer that has all of the family pictures on it. So, you know, think about what you might want to grab quickly. And then make sure you put where it is in the house so that anybody who grabs that, and leave it with the go bag. So that's just
that list. I love that list idea, because it's like you can think about it in calmer, you know, with a calmer mind, that it's like, well, I don't really, because part of the go bag resources that you had sent out was that 5, 15, 30 minute list. And so it was like, oh, that makes so much sense of 5 minutes. If I had 5 minutes, like what would I grab aside from the go bag? And it was like, I would start to fill, you know, fill up water containers. Like I have my list on the side of the fridge and another copy in the go bag. And so it's like, that makes me feel double secure that I'm not going to just run around and grab random things.
Right. Yeah. Suddenly you're like, oh, but this totally random picture that doesn't mean anything to anybody, I'll take that. And then you forget, you know, grandma's quilt or something that you're going to kick yourself later about. So that kind of list is going to help you remember what needs to be taken, what's important to you when you are in a better place than in an emergency situation where you've got to leave now, or you have to leave in 30 minutes.
Yeah. This feels like a good time to take a commercial break, and we will be right back with emergency planning.
Are you interested in improving your quality of life and well-being? The Priority Care Center has board-certified health and wellness coaches who can help you with that. Our coaches can help you make lifestyle changes such as managing stress, improving sleep, quitting smoking, and losing weight by making healthy food choices and creating an exercise plan that works for you. To make an appointment with a wellness coach, call the Priority Care Center at 707-442-0478 or go to PriorityCareCenter.com today.
And we're back from commercial, and we were just talking about the 5, 15, 30 minute list. And before we move on, the mission of this podcast is to shine a light on the good things going on in our area. How would you say that this topic, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but the topic of emergency planning and having a go bag, how do you describe that as being part of the good?
So I think that, first of all, you're taking care of yourself so that you can then help take care of other people. But you're also taking care of yourself so that you're not becoming the problem, right? You're not the one in need of help. You've already helped yourself. And so now you can turn around and talk to your neighbors. And that's one of the things that we talk about a lot, is go to your neighbors, the people in your neighborhood. You know, I had a neighbor across the street that was in a wheelchair. I knew that, but in the case of an emergency, if I'm taken care of, then I can start to think about, oh, my neighbor's in a wheelchair, I need to be able to help them. Or you've got a neighbor with dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that, or they're on crutches or have mobility issues or whatever. Maybe they need help. And so you can be better prepared to help them. And also, once you are, like I have gotten to you, right? You are now a believer in the go bag, right? So now you can go out and proselytize to everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they are in that same boat, right? They understand the importance of the go bag. And the more that we can depend on ourselves and each other, the less we need to worry about whether or not FEMA or the Red Cross or whoever is going to be able to help us out.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And that it also provides, like, it's the same as good health. I liken good health to this sense of freedom. And so this concept of like preparing for an emergency also gives me that. It's a sense of calm in a way that I've at least prepared something, and that if something were to happen, or when something happens is more likely the phrasing of it, is that I can take care of myself and my family and then community. And so it's like, it's empowering to me.
Right. Exactly. So, so the other thing that I just kind of wanted to touch on here is the idea of a shelter in place kit. And sometimes I think people confuse a go bag with a shelter in place kit. In a shelter in place kit, you're talking about you're going to be staying right where you are. So if you're at home, you've got all of the food there already, right? Make sure that you do have some of those canned beans or something like that. That's going to be where that comes into play. Top ramen is a great one. You know, soup in cans, stew in cans, things like that. Those are great things to have around. Of course, you want to cook those. So having like a camp stove or something is really useful. Make sure that if you have a camp stove, you also have propane. So, you know, you have a barbecue, but do you have propane for the barbecue? I'm constantly running out of propane around here. So the other thing to think about as far as laying in food is they call it the spam rule. If you don't like spam now, you're not going to like spam just because it's an emergency.
Right.
So just make sure that you've got food that you're going to want to eat on hand. Cereal is another great thing to just keep around. You're not going to have access to your refrigerator, though. Like, think about those PSPS events that we had where we were out of power for well over 24 hours. You couldn't really go into the refrigerator and just grab the jug of milk. So the, I would say the exception to the spam rule is something like powdered dry milk, right? That it's not good right now. And certainly you're not going to want to sit down and have a glass of it just for kicks, most people. But it's useful for baking. It's useful for, not in emergencies, not baking, but it's useful to be able to use in cereal or things like that. So you can do something with that. So, and just think about that, planning for what does it look like if I don't have gas, I don't have electricity, and I don't have water. I am lucky because my father is a firefighter, or was a firefighter before he retired, and also was into the emergency planning thing. And I have a giant 50-gallon barrel in my shed that is full of water. We put bleach in there, in the water, so that it's purified. And I've got a little pump thing that I got from Harbor Freight for $15 or whatever. And it's there. So I have water if I need it. Certainly something that you're going to be sparing about, but you have it if you need it. Water is, you know, we all know that's a big resource, right? You need it to clean things. You need it to be able to survive. You can survive a lot of days without food, but you can't survive without water for very long. So
yeah, on those the PSPS events, that was a great eye opener for, you know, because we had a heads up, you know, even though it was relatively short, we still had heads up on it.
Right.
And so after it all went down, it was just like, because the talks of generators and, you know, at Costco, the sale of generators. And I was like, I just, me personally, I don't want more things. I want less things, you know? So it was kind of like, even now when we go to Costco, we don't load up on meat and things for the freezer, because it's like, if the power goes out, I don't want to lose that expensive stuff. I would rather just, you know, eat what we have in the fridge. And then we really loaded up on a lot of non-perishables. So, you know, like you're saying, the peanut butters and the lentil packs and the bars and, you know, cereal. And so it was just like, it just, that as much as those were so stressful to endure, it really was a great like practice run in a soup, you know, it was stressful and yet we were going to get through it, of course. And it was just really a good, I don't know, just eye opener for things that are going to happen.
Exactly. And, you know, the other lesson that we recently had was the lockdown for the pandemics, right? When we first started all of this insanity, which of course it's now been a year and a half, but when we first started it, we all were like, oh, we're going to lock down and we're going to be in our houses by ourselves for X number of weeks. And then, of course, we all thought it was going to go away. That hasn't happened. But
we all were.
Right? But all of those things that you were going to talk about, okay, well, do I have them? Because in this particular case, if you're looking at a disaster, the grocery store isn't going to be able to help you out. So you're going to need to survive on your own. So what does that look like for surviving on your own? So the thing that I have said time and time again is this project is an elephant, right? It's a big elephant. So how do we eat the elephant? One bite at a time. You just have to start. And like you said, start it with a bag and go around the house and look at what you have and put things in that bag. And then the next time you're at the dollar store, if you're like me and you go on a regular basis, pick stuff up at the dollar store. They have emergency blankets. Not many people know that they have emergency blankets, the foil ones at the dollar store. You can get some Tylenol or ibuprofen to throw in your bag. Everybody's going to want that, right? And just simple stuff. You don't need a whole first aid kit if you can, you know, if a first aid kit is too expensive, can you just get boxes of Band-Aids? Let's start there. So just start. You'll be surprised how fast it will go, how fast you'll feel like you've gotten to a place where you could be ready. And you know, we've got all sorts of disasters that could befall us here, right? We've got earthquakes. We're overdue for the big one. And that would leave us fully cut off in Humboldt County. They're going to close. There have been a couple of times in bad storms where slides have closed us off from everything, right? You can't get over 36, 299, 101 north or south. So we're completely cut off and isolated here. So you know, that's entirely likely that could happen. If you're talking about fire, if we're right here on the coast, everybody thinks, oh, fire's not going to hit on this side of Humboldt County, on the green side of Humboldt. Well, you know, we're running out of places that have any fuel left to burn. That could easily come up over the hill. And so never think that you're not going to be affected by it. If you're in a tsunami hazard zone, if you don't know, you can go online and look up just, am I in a tsunami hazard zone? You'd be amazed at what is and is not in a tsunami hazard zone. My kids went to Freshwater Elementary. Freshwater Elementary is in a tsunami hazard zone, believe it or not. They're right there by the slough. And so water will come inland farther than you think. So, you know, just be aware of everything that could befall you. I mean, I don't recommend that you do the panic now thing, but just know that there's stuff out there that's going to happen. Eventually, it's going to happen. Maybe not in your lifetime, and that would be awesome, right? But you'll be ready to go in case it does.
Yeah, and everything that you have, that list of like possibilities, that's what was so paralyzing to me, because it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many things. That and really it was paralyzing me with fear. And so I was like, there's nothing I can do. So I don't know where to start. Everything I'm going to put in here is useless. And that's why I didn't do anything for years. And then honestly, Chris, it was that article that you had sent out that just made it so doable. And so I encourage anyone listening to this to read that link or to go to the IPA page that Chris had mentioned under emergency planning, that humbleipa.com page, and just read it. You know, that could be step one, is just reading an article and to see what that offers to you. Because really, you know, for someone who is so scared, now it's like, I'm proud of my plan. I'm proud of my go bag. And it's just like, okay, like, it's just like anything else. You might not want to do it, but it's like it's just part of living in this area, quite honestly, right? Taking care of ourselves
and part of living anywhere, right? Everywhere's got some sort of a hazard. It's not earthquakes, maybe it's tornadoes or flooding or whatever. Lots of things can happen everywhere. So, you know, there's no need to panic, but hope is not a plan, right? We need to have some sort of a strategy for getting through some of this, and taking care of yourself and your family is the first step in you being able to take care of the other people around you and not to be a burden on the people that, you know, don't be the one that needs help. If you can possibly avoid it, leave that resource for somebody else.
Right.
You didn't. And then, right, you know, also go around and say, hey, I'm all ready to go. Are you? Let's help you get that done. So you too can become as obnoxious as I am.
That's right. I love that. I love that. Okay. Well, thanks. This is great information. Is there anything else you would like to impart on us? I love that sentence. Hope is not a plan, because it applies to so many things in our world, especially now, but all the time. Anything else to leave with us, Chris?
No, I think that's my best advice, is just hope is not a plan, or hope is not a strategy, I guess is the other way to, that I've heard that in the past, but just do something. Do anything, and then you won't feel scared that something's coming. You know, it's a way to overcome some fear that you know you're going to be ready, or at least you're going to be as ready as you can be.
Right. I agree. Well, thank you, Chris. Much appreciated, and stay safe out there.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much, Julia.
Thank you.
The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music produced by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Estes, Jessica Osborne Staffness, Vanessa Verdiak, and Robin Baker. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouden for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, like, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. You can find us on Facebook on the Priority Care Center page and on Instagram at PCC School-Based Health Center. Be part of the good, Humboldt.